turn on the light. Let God show you the way. Give it up to Him each day. Walk in His light. He listens when you pray. Living in God's hands today.
Welcome to Light, true stories about real people. L-I-G-H-T means living in God's hands today, and that really means giving the control of our lives back to God. Today's true story is actually two true stories about two very different people, both wanting to take control.
I'm taking you on a little walking tour of Elliott Avenue in Yonkers, New York. Yonkers is a community just north of the Bronx. Poverty, drugs, a general lack of pride in anything has worked its way up here to Elliott Avenue. Ruth Bronson lives here with the three kids. I live next door, right here. My name's Bill Daniel. I'm a Presbyterian pastor with no church. Most people up here on Elliott Avenue were either born here or migrated from someplace worse. I chose Elliott Avenue. It was my home. God told me I should give up my comfortable suburban pastorate and see how the other half lived. My first thought about God's will in my life was, wait a minute. God, I'm needed here in this nice church. They love me. I love my life, my church, my neighborhood. Well, His plan for me was to bring church to the streets in Yonkers, and He kept gnawing at me until I listened to Him. That's why I'm here. This neighborhood is my church. Anyway, over there across the street from me, that's the crack capital of Yonkers. People come and go in and out of that place 24 hours a day for any drug imaginable, but mostly crack. Oh, I know, you're thinking, if he knows they sell crack there, the police must know. Well, sure they know, but that's another story. Here next to me, this is Artie Boone's house. Let me tell you about Artie. He loves the Lord and is trying hard to recognize what God's will is in his life, but one day, he acted when he should have been listening. Hi, Ruth. Come on in.
Hi, Bill. Is Artie here yet?
No, not yet, but William is here and Carlos and a couple of the
well,
other
people. Well, I bet we don't see Mr. Artie Boone here this evening.
Why not?
I just seen him. He was drinking his beer and carrying on about our block watch program on crime.
What do you mean, carrying on?
Well, he says if it don't do much good, we ain't gonna get rid of the drug house that way. Well, maybe he's right, Bill.
Now, Ruth, you know we have almost 30 people watching that house for traffic, and
yes, they peek their heads out of curtains and watch, but it don't do no good. I mean,
come on out of there, junkie. You get your butt out of the house and out of this neighborhood. Stupid crackheads. You hear me, punk? I know you in there.
Listen to that. Now just listen. There he goes.
What's
that's
he trying
Artie.
To do?
He's harassing the druggies. Sounds like he ain't coming to meeting tonight.
Artie, what are you doing?
Hey, Bill. I'm gonna chase those druggies off this block.
Artie, we're working on that with a block watch.
Well, I'm on action, man.
I'm afraid Artie's gonna get into trouble. I better go out and talk to him. Hey, Artie, come here a minute. Hey, Artie, it sounds like somebody's called the cops. You better cool down, huh?
Okay, what's going on?
That's a crack house, if you didn't know.
Officer, I think we just...
What's your name?
Bill Daniel, but...
What are you doing here?
I live here, right there.
You live here on Elliott Avenue? Who's this?
I'm Artie Boone, Daniel's brother.
You been drinking, boy?
Look, officer, Artie's just a little hot about this drug house being here. Maybe you could maybe drive him around the block, cool him off, huh? He'll be fine, officer, really. Thank you. I
appreciate it. Bill, open up. Are you awake?
What? William, what's up? Come in.
Bill, they've locked up Artie.
What? What time is it?
Almost midnight. They charged him with disorderly conduct and locked him up.
Yeah, that's not right. Artie wasn't doing anything that bad.
Well, what are we going to do?
We're going to get him out of there, William. Call Ruth and Eddie. Maybe Carlos. We'll get down to the station. We'll either get him out or we'll go to jail with him.
Okay, I'll call him. Okay.
Artie, we know how you feel, but we promised the police you'd behave.
Yeah, did you see how I got King Crack to come outside?
Artie, you know they're dangerous. You could have gotten hurt or worse.
That's right, Artie.
Bill, I got the power. I ain't afraid. Look, Bill, some of them screaming was the beer talking, but I'm dead sober now. And I still ain't afraid because I'm doing what's right. I don't think God wants that drug house here.
Artie, nobody's arguing with that, but we gotta cool it. Look, it's been a long night. Well, let's all go home.
You all go ahead. Hey, thanks, man. I'm going to talk to my man, Ramon, over here. Hey, Ramon. Ramon.
Okay.
What's happening?
Hey, good night, Artie. Ruth, William, thanks for coming
all
to the
right,
station.
All right, good night, Artie.
Hey, Artie. Hey, you was in the slammer.
Ah, man, it wasn't nothing.
Yo, I like what you did with them dealers and druggies.
Yeah?
Yeah, man, I'm with you, man. I was down.
Well, I ain't through yet. I'm gonna do some more parading. Hey, you with me?
Oh, you know that, man. I got your back.
All right. Hey, in there, crackheads! Come on out here!
Yeah, Artie! All right! All right! That's great, man. Do it! Do it!
Artie, you're gonna get in trouble, Artie. Right.
Go for it, Artie, go
hey,
for
don't
it.
Don't you worry, Bill. Get off of my street, jailbird, or I'll call the cops again.
Look on the roof. The crack king is throwing things at Artie.
Artie, watch out, watch out. Where you going?
Up to my own roof. Come on, Spike. Where you going, chicken man?
What's he doing, Bill? You
I
better
don't
get down from
where you
here
going?
Look at the people out in the street.
Then I said, get back here, man. Hey, people on Elliott Avenue. This is Artie talking. We're taking over now, because this is our street. No more drugs on our street.
No more drugs.
Yeah, they're going to sell poison to our kids.
Yeah, I want my kids out
of
that.
Come on out of your houses and show these junkies who's running this street.
All
right. Get out of your beds
come
and tell them who
I can't believe it. It's 3 in the morning and there must be 70 or 80 people out here. Oh, boy. Well, let's go
I'm
talk
coming
to
down
them
there, Bill. Come on, Spike.
Officer, let me explain what's going on.
You again? What are all these people doing here?
They're protesting.
They're disturbing the peace. That's what they're doing.
We don't want any more drug dealers on our street.
If you don't break this up now, we'll arrest all of you. You understand that?
You should arrest that crackpot on the roof over there.
Officer, can we make a deal here? If you leave, we'll cool it and go home.
All right, pal. I'll only give you a chance because there's so many of you. But one word from any of you, and we bring wagons to haul you off.
Well, it took a little doing to restrain Artie, but he finally cooled down. He saw that we had made our point. Artie really is trying hard to take control of his life through God. Maybe his enthusiasm got a little out of hand that night, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. He uses all kinds of people for his purpose. He used me to come here. And it just may be that he used Artie as his instrument to help the people of Elliott Avenue take control of their lives. And it reminds me of how Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. Anyway, the pushers, they're no longer in control. Elliott Avenue belongs to us, and we're rebuilding it and placing it in God's hands. Ruth came up with the idea of using the 58th chapter of Isaiah as our guide. It's in the 12th verse. It says, your people will rebuild what has long been in ruins, building again on old foundations. You will be known as the people who rebuilt the walls, who restored the ruined houses.
Here's a question. What would you do if the house across the street from you became a dope house? And where do you draw the line regarding ends justifying the means? Like in Artie's case. And do you think Artie was really God's instrument? We'll be right back with another true story right after this. God is alive in this story, and through Jesus, he can be alive in you. Say this simple prayer. Jesus, come into my heart.
Hi, my name is Brian. The story you just heard was about taking control. Now, whether you'll admit it or not, control is in all our lives to some degree. Could be too much, could be too little. I'm an in-control type guy. I learned how as a kid. I grew up in a broken and a very unhappy home. No one else was in control, so I had to be. Elliott Avenue isn't the only street where people are trying to control. There are a lot of places that can satisfy one's need for control here on Wall Street, too. So that's where I am. One of the things I control is a lot of money, other people's. On the surface, you'd never see a luckier, smarter, more successful guy than me. In control of everything, including my lovely wife and 2 kids. But underneath, I was losing it. I had success, a 6-figure income, but my wife, Ellen, was moving off in her own direction. I didn't like that. And our oldest son, Kevin, who was barely 10 years old, had such a poor self-esteem and depression that he threatened to kill himself 3 times in 1 month. I mean, 10 years old, and he talked about suicide? Ellie and I were heartsick, powerless, ashamed. Out of sheer frustration, I agreed to go on a 3-day men's retreat with a friend of mine. I was kicking and screaming all the way. I mean, for the first time in my life, at least for 3 days, I listened, and I stopped trying to control everything. I felt God's love come into my life. I was fired with the desire to change and tell everybody that I'd change. So, you know what I did? I went right home. I took control of everybody's piety. I became a self-appointed prophet. I even badgered my wife to go on a woman's 3-day retreat. The more I talked about God, about the love that Jesus Christ showed us, the deeper I drove a wedge between us. My wife just wasn't ready. Things between us got worse, but in spite of our differences, we did share a common concern for our son, Kevin. I think God sometimes just gives us these challenges to get our attention. Anyway, I don't remember how I managed it, but I got Ellie to go on a marriage encounter weekend with me. It was great, at least for me. Lots of love, Christian fellowship. What I didn't realize was how difficult my religious force-feeding was for Ellie to take. And a friend of mine hit me hard when he said, "Brian, we Christians think we have a lock on love. Yet there was your wife deeply over her head in your spirituality to the point of gagging. She was doing it out of sheer blind love for you." I prayed for forgiveness, and I backed off. Since then, I began to think and pray about what I could do for other people. I even prayed about going into full-time Christian service. God's answer was the realization that I'm already in his service. "Do your part," he's telling me, "where you are, on Wall Street. That's where you're needed. But first," I thought, "clean up your own act." I was trying to sell religion to people who weren't even ready to listen. That's ego talking, not divine inspiration. Life isn't a battle anymore. It's a journey. And here's the irony. That is what light really means. The satisfying, fulfilling life we all strive for can only happen when we allow God to do with us what he wants to do, to fulfill his plan for our happiness and our joy.
Turn on the light, let God show you the way. Give it up to him each day. Walk in his light, he listens when you pray. Living in God's hands today.
Can any of you relate to Brian? Can you ever justify force-feeding religion to someone or to anyone? And how do you tap in on God's plan for you?
L-I-G-H-T.